This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Stack of the Money Green, filling in for Ryan Kramer, CJ Sullivan. Happy Saturday to the East Coast. Oh, what's happening, CJ?
Man, I feel, as Kramer's substitute, I feel like I dropped the ball by not updating all the folks every time the time changes over to the hour. But you're
yes.
Right. Happy Saturday, Sean.
Happy Saturday. Good running gag here. Calling us from Saturday on the East Coast via the Progressive Guest Line from the College Experience. Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pick Dundee. What's happening, Colby?
I mean, we're close. We're close to, I mean, I know Thursday we'll be out at the Circa, and there's a Lafayette Georgetown game that I might have a lot of money on.
Yes. Yeah. So Colby's already subtweeting the Circa to see if they can get the Georgetown football game on. We'll have a lot of College Football Week Zero picks next week in studio with Colby, with the Moneyline Mac. But in the meantime, perfect last grab here for some futures, some win totals. You gave a couple out last week. Let's get to some more here. Everyone's talking about this Louisiana Tech team. Not really, but Colby, you got a good play on the win total. What are you doing here?
Yeah, so, you know, they're jumping conferences. They were in the Conference USA last year and kind of had a breakthrough season for Sonny Cumbie in the Conference USA, but now they're jumping up to the Sun Belt. I think the Sun Belt's a lot tougher of a conference. Then you add in their non-con schedule, besides Northwestern State, who's a terrible FCS. They're at LSU, at Baylor, home to Army. Then you throw in just, to me, just a much tougher conference. So not game in, game out, I expect them to be. And they still have divisions in the Sun Belt, so they got to go through all the local teams that I think might have a couple rivalry opponents like Louisiana and ULM that might say, hey, welcome to the bigger league here. So I am fading that. They also lost several players. One of the players actually just got kicked off TCU's team for a nice fight against his teammate.
I saw that he took out his own. We were talking about week zero, and one of the reasons I do like UNC is TCU is suspending guys for beating up their own players. Colby, what's going on in college football?
Well, you know, it's spring, summer classes, you know, it's the off season. Everyone's getting excited
now,
but I will say my Carolina Moneyline ticket looking better and better because their starting receiver is still in the hospital. I think
Colby, are some of these players getting in fights, sitting kicked off intentionally, so they can go sign,
go back to the transfer,
or go to the portal. They get kicked out of NFL camps. Now they're coming over. It seems like it's just open arm system here.
Yeah, I mean, it's college sports in 2000. I like it because it's kind of come full circle. It's kind of come full circle. Like people complaining about, they're transferring to all these teams. They're getting extra years. Well, the first days of college football, you would have like players like Fielding Yost was loading up for like three different teams in one season. So, you know, we've come full circle.
Yeah, no, the NFL players asking to be released so they can enter the transfer portal is just, what is going on with this sport?
Is lawless.
It is it's a wild time to be alive. Colby, you also got to play on the Texas State Bobcats. What are we doing with the Bobcats here?
And I like that because they're a lot like the Louisiana Tech play. You look back at a season ago, the Sun Belt, why did they grab Louisiana Tech? Because Texas State's heading off to the Pac-12. G.J. Kinney, a hot name in coaching, former Tulsa quarterback. The offense was putting up pretty dynamite numbers a season ago, but this is a big step up to me. I think they're basically playing the Mountain West and Washington State and Oregon State, which I think is just it's much more travel than they'll be doing previously. And to me, you know, they went 7-6 in the Sun Belt last year, and the Sun Belt West wasn't some dynamite conference. If anything, the Sun Belt East was the strong conference or the strong side of the conference. So I just think it's a little bit too much here. I like the under on Texas State the sheer mileage. And you've seen it with the Big Ten or the ACC with the teams coming way out, across the country. So I think Texas State, as much as the program is much better than it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago with DJ Kinney, I think it's too much. Just the road trips at San Diego State, but they got to go. They have the flex game at the end of the year, but at Boise on the Smurf turf, they got to go to Colorado State potentially if that flex game thing happens. And then just a home schedule that's pretty brutal as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, you mentioned it. We had Phil Steele on our podcast with Colby, and it does feel like these massive travel spots aren't quite, I don't think they've quite handicapped them enough in the number, especially the futures market. And we've seen those teams just struggle with these
especially
massive
now when
stuff.
These conferences are expanding. They're massive conferences in the Big Ten. Anytime they go to the West Coast, they get destroyed.
Yeah.
Anytime the West Coast teams go over there, they get destroyed.
Look at USC. Speaking of the Big Ten, UCLA Bruins. How do we feel about the Bruins coming into 2026, Colby?
Yeah, and I know I feel like I'm breaking the thing I just said to a certain extent, but Bob Chesney, I've been following, you know this, because at SGPN Studio there in L.A., for a few seasons, I had a TV that was designed only for Holy Cross football games on the bottom left there. So I've been following Bob Chesney a long time. I think he's an outstanding football coach. I can't believe UCLA made a hire this smart. And the schedule breaks nice for them this year. First off, he brings in like 12 of his JMU guys, which last time someone did that, they won a national championship.
Google.
But then you look at the schedule, what they draw. They draw Purdue. They draw Maryland. Even though it's at Maryland, of course, that's still, you know, 3,000 miles away. But, you know, they get Michigan State. They get an Illinois team that I think might be a little down this year. So I just think the schedule aligns. He's so well coached. Even that Oregon game, I know everyone will say, well, JMU got blown out. His game plan was spot on. They still put up 500 yards of offense. They just missed field goals, got them blocked. It missed a fourth and one. And to me, I really believe he's going to be able to load up. And they're spending some money that they have never spent, really, with previous coaches. So I'm buying stock on Bob Chesney wherever he goes.
Now, Colby, in that Illinois game, like you mentioned, it's a Friday night primetime game at the Rose Bowl. We're getting a bunch of people to come. I know you are banned from the Rose Bowl. You can't come inside. Obviously,
he's still on the list.
But maybe we can get you a costume of some sorts. Maybe we can get you in through.
I'll do a Bobby Valentine.
Oh, man. Colby, if you follow him on X, at the Colby D, still has one of the better Photoshops of Colby's head Photoshopped on top of Bobby Petrino road rash face in the neck brace doing his press conference. It's just like highlights college football. And I saw someone else on Twitter had the actual Bobby Petrino profile icon. And I thought it was Colby for a second.
Yeah, it looks like Colby. Yeah. And the marks all there.
Now, anytime I see that, I see Colby. I don't see Bobby Petrino. What about the Minnesota Golden Gophers, Colby?
Team.
I think they're like a fun long shot to make it to the playoffs. How about you? Where are you at with their win total?
Yeah, I mean, the win total is low because the schedule is challenging, but I think this is PJ Fleck's most talented roster he's had in Minneapolis. He kind of burnt last season, even though they still won 8 games on the freshman quarterback. So I think if he takes that step forward, and he showed flashes as the season went on, Darius Taylor's one of the best running backs in the nation. I think the defense is really good, and I think the wide receiver position they've really upgraded at. So, you know, I feel like previous Fleck teams, even the one that won 11 games, they were limited in one area. This is the most complete I think they've been. Now, the schedule is super challenging. They're going to have to win some of these games, hosting Michigan, hosting Iowa, where I know Ferentz is like 8-1 against them all the time. He's going to have to find a way to win these games. But I think this is the best shot. That's why I think it's a good value play. Even a game at Washington where you think of going cross country, they get that in September, and Washington's quarterback tried to leave to LSU, tried to like tell he basically lied to his coaches and stuff.
That was a weird story. You
know, well, I wonder what the locker room is. And I think if anything, it's a good time to get Washington potentially maybe in September, as opposed to once they come together as a team. So that one a little bit more winnable than I think. And then, I just think that this is his best team.
Yeah, no, I'm high on the Gophers, 35-1 to make the college football playoff. Fun long shot there. What about Oklahoma State? We talked about them in our Big 12 preview. How do you feel about Oklahoma State this year?
Yeah, you know, and I feel like this is one where a lot of people are super trendy on taking, you know, Oklahoma State over. They got Eric Morris. You know, he brings in Mestemaker. He's a Heisman candidate. NFL projections say he's going to be a first-round draft pick. Look, we cashed on North Texas's over last year. And credit to them, and credit for Eric Morris getting a big gig. But that schedule was the real handicap. The schedule was terrible last year. So now you tell me that you're going to take your whole roster and go to Oklahoma State. And, you know, that's nice. You're going to have that continuity. But this conference is just, it's kind of back to the Louisiana Tech thing that we said earlier. Like, you're going up a gigantic level. And you saw Houston do it. You saw UCF do it. You saw Cincinnati do it. They all struggled. The only one that kind of hit the ground running was BYU. And I don't think that North Texas team was on that level of talent. So I like the under on Oklahoma State. I think Tulsa's live to get them in week one.
Oh, What's that? What's that?
That's
money line?
Nice.
I can't remember what it is this very second, but I think Tulsa is certainly a like they beat them last year with Gundy, but that's always a chippy rivalry game. And I think everyone loves Oklahoma State over this year. It seems like the public play there. But 14 and a half.
14 and a half. So pretty juicy money line. 30 seconds on the clock, Colby. What are we doing with New Mexico State this year? Win total 4.5.
Fade. All right. It was a lazy hire after Jerry Kill just grabbing someone off the staff that played there. They should have got Tim Beck. I thought the team was very fortunate a year ago. Now you look at their schedule this year is brutal, in my opinion. I think this is a much harder schedule. So the dead weight of UTEP is out of the conference. So, under all day.
Under on New Mexico State.
Contrarian Colby over here. I love it.
Like the under OK State, over Minnesota, over UCLA, under Texas State, under Louisiana Tech. When we return, conference winners, including an 8-1. Don't want to miss it. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second, the Money Green, filling in for Ryan Kramer, CJ Sullivan. What's up, CJ?
What's up, Sean? Quick update. The Fantasy Football League, which a draft I'm hosting tomorrow. I'm the commissioner. They've all flown in from around the country. They're right outside the Mega Bar. And they volunteered their services to come on the show in case we're dragging for these last couple segments.
Hey, you guys want us to come in, do the show?
Yeah.
Nine guys who are hammered. Sure. Please come on.
Bring your beers in. Come on in.
Good times. Hanging out with us, talking all things college football from the College Football Experience, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pick Dundee. Colby, I teased in the previous segment that you would be giving us an 8-1 winner for a conference. What do you got?
First off, we can go a little further too, right? I feel like I texted over a few different ones.
I see an 18 to one. I see a 17 to one, 8-1. That's a sweet spot. I want to talk about. What are you doing in the American?
Well, yeah. I mean, this one does make a lot of sense. Like the Army Black Knights 2 years ago won the American. And last season, like the Service Academy thing is pretty simple. I was a little surprised when I saw that Navy was the odds on favorite to be the group of five, representative to make the playoffs. Navy lost a ton of production from a year ago. And I get it. They're well coached. I think Drew Cronick's, elite offensive coordinator. But I think Army's the play here. Army was the team that was replacing everything last year. They got everybody back this year. They have a great schedule too. When you mix both those together. And I think in general, the whole conference, the American conference got raided. Other coaches, John Summerall leaves Tulane, right? He's now at Florida. Alex Galesh, their head coach is now at, South Florida's head coach is now at Auburn. Memphis loses Silverfield to Arkansas. You have kind of a turnover year where all this is unknown, even East Carolina, my team's replacing both coordinators, starting quarterback. And the one thing that you can kind of count on, and this has kind of been the thing the past 2 years since we've gone to the 12-team playoff and the NIL and the transfer portal has been wild, is this service academies have been knocking on the door of the playoffs here. Army's already won this conference once in the past 2 years. I think they can do it again, and I think they have a sneaky home field edge. A lot of these teams are in the South. They're going to have to come up to West Point. I like Army. I think, obviously my Pirates are my team, but so you sprinkle them, but Army is the Army is a smart play, I think. They're hosting East Carolina, who I think could be in contention. They're hosting Tulane. So they all have to make that trip up to Mikey Stadium. Jeff Monken is an elite coach for a reason.
No love for the Temple Owls, Colby. But yeah, no, I think even if you don't want to take them to win at all, them over 7.5 wins, the continuity and coaching just feels...
Sneaky home field advantage at Army. Colby always knows what their sneaky home field is.
Sneaky home field. Colby, let's talk Conference USA. What are you doing in the Conference USA? Who do you have winning that?
Just follow the chalk here. Liberty was a Liberty like disappointed last year, 4-win season. That was completely random. They had injuries. The ball bounced the wrong way. Their head coach also, I think, was sick. They haven't really released what was going on, but apparently he's healthy now. And they went out and were super aggressive in the portal. They have endless money. Their athletic department and their football program, I would be willing to say they probably spend 3 times more than any program in this conference. And I think you're getting them on the cheap right now because of how bad last season was. I don't really see anybody, you know, contending with them. Kennesaw got who won the conference a year ago. Their whole team left via portal or graduation. And it's kind of an FCS conference. I mentioned Louisiana Tech left the conference. They won 8 games a year ago, so they're leaving. I think Liberty's going to run away with it. I think there's a shot with the opening game at JMU. That's a rivalry game, and JMU replacing everything. There's a shot they might go 12-0 here. So I love Liberty on the over on wins, the conference to make the CFP. Just load up.
Load up on the Liberty Flames. What about some non-chalky plays? Pac-12, back better than ever. What are you doing in that conference, Colby?
Yeah, I think this is worth a dart throw. Like, the Pac-12, so, you know, one of the guys that I always thought could play Boise State super efficiently was Utah State, was Bronco Mendenhall, who's the head coach of Utah State. You go back to when he was at Virginia, he won on the Smurf turf. When he was at BYU, he was always a pro. I thought, and that was like the best Boise State era. That was with Chris Peterson and stuff. So I always thought that, you know, he was a coach that was capable of going on the Smurf turf and beating them. And when you think about that, you're like, Boise's the front runner in that conference. They might even play him twice because of a flex opportunity. Their final game of the season is a flex. And you look elsewhere, you're like, okay, well, look, Washington State's kind of in taboo, third coach in 3 years, right? Oregon State, same similar situation. San Diego State, Sean Lewis, sure, they're good. They're looking pretty good, but Colorado State's hitting refresh with Jim Mora. There's just an opportunity for a veteran coach to me. With the odds you're getting, and he's reconnecting with Robert and I, former Mike Leach guy. He was the OC with Brennan Armstrong and Virginia when Bronco Mendenhall took them to the ACC championship. I think there's value on Utah State. I think that you should just sprinkle. Obviously, the odds are crazy, but I just think there's a path here. And with this history of being able to beat Boise, I like it more than a lot of other teams in this conference.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jim Mora taking over at Colorado State. I like Colorado State this year. I don't think they're going to win the Pac-12, but getting over their 3.5 wins does feel very doable, even maybe an alt over 4.5 wins. But, yeah, Utah State win total over 4.5 as well if you want to just play that instead of them.
You can tell Sean doesn't believe in this play, Colby, because, one, he just gets out the win total. and as a teaser last segment, as you pointed out, he touted your 8-1 play and not this play, which is a much juicier number that would have brought people in because he doesn't even think this thing is real.
Speaking of big, juicy plays, Big 12 feels like pretty wide open. Colby, what are you doing in the Big 12 this year?
Well, you know, I think we've already hit on this like a week ago when we were giving out, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I said, you know, West Virginia is a good play. And then we talked Kansas State and we said, yeah, the schedule is that great, but Kansas State lost their best offensive lineman this past week.
Terrible.
You have the TCU fight going on. So to me, I think this is one where I do like the West Virginia play, but I think Houston is one that I think you should now consider. Texas Tech, there's already rumblings they're trying to grab a quarterback late. That must mean they don't feel great about the Will Hammond situation, perhaps. And what I love is Houston gets them week 3 early on. Willie Fritz, proven winner on all levels of college football. And then they do play Kansas State. Before, I had that as a game that they would probably slip up in. But now, with Kansas State getting hit by the injury bug, because, guys, they didn't just lose him. They lost the backup as well. So they're deep now on that O-line. I think that game becomes winnable. And then, you know, the other tough one at Utah, we don't really know what Utah is going to be like without Whittingham. I think it's worth a shot here for Houston to end up in the Big 12 championship. And who knows what can happen there.
Like it. Yeah, 17-1. BYU is my team, but yeah, I mean, if you're avoiding the chalk, Houston makes a ton of sense. CJ, you got to play in the Big 12.
No, I like Houston as well there, and I got them to make the playoffs, because if you obviously if they win the Big 12, they're going to the playoffs in. There, but it's a right for our number, and they can lose a game and get there. I mean, obviously, there's a little regression. They won tight games, but they're set up for this, and like you said, this door is wide open in this conference, except for, obviously, Texas Tech.
Yeah. Coley, we got one more play here to win the ACC. This is one I co-sign 100%. What are you doing in the ACC?
Yeah, look, SMU, like, I think they're being a little bit disrespected. First of all, they have 20 wins.
Yeah.
20 wins since entering the conference. How about that? I think the second most, I think, other than Miami. They have the second most wins since joining, and who would have thought that coming into the conference that just like that? But I mean, they bring back Jennings, who's arguably the best quarterback, you know, in the country. I think you can make a case for him to win the Heisman this year. I'm gonna go in on that. And you look at the schedule, you know, I think there's a path they don't play Miami. Mm. So then you're asking yourself, they beat Miami last year, if you remember that game. So if they get to the game in Charlotte, which Miami was, they missed last year, I think conveniently because it was like 10 degrees that day. I think that they're capable of beating them. They beat them last year. I think that if anything, they return a ton of production, and the fact that the game would be at Bank of America Stadium there in Charlotte, I think is an edge for the team out of Dallas, assuming they play Miami. They might play Louisville, but either way, I think this team is, if they didn't go to Berkeley and get upset, they would have been in the ACC championship a year ago in the final week. So I think they're going to be back in the ACC championship this year.
Yeah, no, love SMU. Cal, if you believe the JKS hype, yeah. I'm trying to rally around. CJ, 1 minute on the clock. What are you doing in the ACC?
ACC, I sprinkled on Clemson at 14-1. I think they're going to have a nice bounce back here. I think Dabo, obviously they have the talent. And Dabo's finally hitting the portal. I think he can run the ball. I mean, I think 14-1 is a pretty good value there with the squad with Clemson and Dabo bounce back here.
Yes. So we got SMU to win the ACC, Houston to win the Big 12, Utah State to win the Pac-12, Liberty at 3-1 to win the Conference USA, Army 8-1 to win the American. Next week, Colby Dant in studio, Week 0 picks. Don't want to miss it. Excited to hang out with Colby in Vegas. Tune in. Won't want to miss it. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Tale of the Tape coming up next.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sacking the Money Green with my partner in picks. Filling in for my partner in picks, CJ Sullivan, Bottom Line Bombs. I just get in such autopilot with all the intro, outro, all the mechanics. Good to have you in here, CJ. How we feel?
Thank you. Great. And of course, shout out to the great Ryan Kramer. It's an honor to fill in for him. But I see he's obviously watching and supporting because he's texting us during the breaks. he's reminding you, he's giving critiques of fans about your show.
Some fans sent a text in. Oh, I see Sean's milking the 200K story again. Come on. It's a fun video.
Oh, my God.
You can't please them all, CJ.
I just like how Kramer couldn't wait till the end of the show to show you that. He wants to get you in your head mid-show.
good times. And looking forward to next week. Contest sign-up weekend. If you're coming out for the contest to sign up for the weekend, please come say hi. Always enjoy hearing from the audience. We're going to be there's a party Thursday night at Bar Canada, open bar. You basically sign up for one of the contests and you get into all these great parties. There's a big stadium swim party, a legacy club party, which I think we're unfortunately going to be live on Friday night. But there's just a bunch of fun hangs. The football panel, a blackjack tournament, which is super fun. Well, it wasn't that fun because I didn't win, but the idea is really fun. If you can win some NFL futures, so great. Great weekend to come out, get in on the contest. All right, CJ, time for the tale of the tape. Love we it. Get the tape measure going here.
Oh, yeah.
This is the last week we had the replacement tape measure because Kramer forgot his.
Is this sponsored, this tape measure?
No, this isn't sponsored. Okay. Now, we keep telling Bill, please dial up Ace Hardware. Find us a tape measure sponsor. We have not gotten that through yet, but
coordinated with the ladders, we can get all kind. We can get a whole hardware merch section going.
It's very funny because they must have these like bots scraping, because I can't tell you how many times I've gotten emails. Hey, Sports Gambling Podcast, we love your videos. Would love for you to discuss the Ryobi ladder, or like clearly it's just like hearing us talk about ladders and tape measures. And I get all these offers, like pressure washers. I go, I would love to discuss your pressure washer on air. Here's my address. They never, I think eventually they click and see like, oh, these are just some idiots talking about random hardware thing.
Here's some ladder enthusiasts just like us.
Now look at the, look at this extension on this tape measure. I mean, this is the whole screen. Meanwhile, last week Kramer was throwing this tape measure under the bus, saying, oh, he couldn't get it up, he couldn't get it out there, he couldn't get it extended. Meanwhile, CJ, I'm sitting at 71 inches, almost 6 feet, no problem, no bend, no curve, completely straight, locked in, ready to measure.
Listen, I mean, it happens to everyone. Sometimes we can't get
Kramer's
get
getting up there in ages.
For sure. And when there's a lot of things to blame, you know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot.
CJ, you know, in the locker room made the mistake of like dropping his towel, and I saw what was going on with his tail of the tape. So I'll let CJ go second, because If he goes first, it's going to be a disappointment for everyone.
Already got envy in the locker room, peeking around.
Ticket envy is real, CJ. Okay. My first one. Now this is just a little one. You know, get things started. little appetizer. This doesn't even get 6 inches. So this one, you know, if you're not into big ones,
it
this
gets
one,
the job done.
It does.
That's what everyone needs to
This really
understand.
Does get the job done. This is a two-team money line preseason dogs. Now, if you listen to the week one, great preseason for me. Week two has been a disaster so far on the picks, aka means I'm due. So give me the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens on the money line parlayed together. $200 pays $922. So nice. Ooh. nice little stocking
That's
stuffer.
Nice,
here.
Absolutely. That'll
and
get
now
the
this
job
one.
Done.
This
That's
is
something
a...
maybe you have that before dinner, then you go out and enjoy your evening.
Yeah, just warming it up.
Yeah.
This one though, this is
okay.
We call this the home wrecker parlay ticket. you don't want to this is like the maybe call it a pickleball instructor. You don't want to leave this
that's worthy of a pick. You could text maybe, you know, if you wanted to send
pick,
that out.
A little pick as we like to call it. All right, this thing's clocking in at a massive 7 1/4 inches.
Yeah,
and for good
that's
reason.
Solid. That, yeah, that raises the average.
I started 0-5 in the preseason, which means scientifically I'm set to go 5-0 on this next run. We broke down the preseason games. Go back and check it out if you missed them. Colts laying the 3.5. Love fading the Atlanta Falcons. Ravens catching 3.5. Ravens seem to care, and I believe them. Bills plus 2.5. Getting plus money against the Browns. Sign me up. Bears laying the 1.5. Bears are really locked in. And the Tampa Bay Bucks. KC doesn't want any part of that. Florida Heat. $100 ticket returns you $24.35.90, which means the... staff, nice staff behind the they're gonna get a massive tip.
That's when you're gonna remember too, you know what I mean? Like that, I mean, you know, obviously it's
not text there,
not breaking any records.
Text your girlfriend, the tip I got last night, you wouldn't believe it. You know how sometimes in those viral videos of tips, that certainly could be one.
Yeah,
thing.
I'm saying when you look back at the parlays, you look back to the greatest parlays of your life, you know, and the great nights, you know, remember like, yeah, there was that one night, that one hot night in August.
I just did get away from Bill 80 behind the glass, which was an interesting time to come in on the show. Oh, he gave the friendly wave, not the X cutting, so good signs.
Well, and then shout out to Bill 80, but he's very nervous when he heard I was filling in for Ryan Kramer.
Made sure we have all the paper signs taped up to remind the language issue, and of course
and once again we apologize for CJ Jay's lane.
Yeah, and he had other people, all the producers came from behind a glass to shake my hand and also remind me.
Just one more reminder. All right, CJ, break that thing out. Enough messing around.
Wow.
Well, we almost need some, like, music.
Well, now I feel like the buildup, almost like that scene in...
Oh, no, this is...
Was it Porky's when one guy and me, when it was like at the big thing and he finally lays it out there?
Lay it out.
Yeah, you gotta keep that thing out there. I thought my laptop here would cover, but as you can see, it's
longer
sticking.
Than your laptop.
It's sticking it over in here.
So. Imagine laying that down and it's longer than your laptop.
It is longer than the laptop.
Oh my God.
I'll just hold
They have a different font
I'll
for
just
this.
I'll just hold
thing.
This thing up right here.
CJ, that's like a fish. You know, like a trophy bass you got there.
This is CVS receipt length, if you will. I mean, this thing goes deep. It is a bass. Hold it up. You're going to want to frame this. This is all Saturday NFL preseason. Now, what did we all hear week one? Well, all the turns, it was dogs and unders. All the unders came through in week one after that first couple. Then you see those ridiculous posts online, like on Twitter. If you would have put a $100 parlay on all these 800s, you know, you would have had so-and-so. So, well, no one does that. That's a ridiculous way to
go. No one would ever do that.
It's a ridiculous way to think. There's no handicap involved. It's just darn luck. But it's preseason. What happens if one thing goes one way?
The pendulum next, swings.
Pendulum swings. Now we're going to go towards the overs. So far, there was three games tonight, two overs. I, of course, had the one under the Jets-Steelers game. Over game last night. Overs are 3-1 so far in the preseason. I mean, week two for the preseason. There's 10 games on Saturday.
No.
There's 10 overs on this ticket.
Oh, my God.
There's 10 overs.
10 preseason 10 overs.
10 preseason overs.
I didn't know they let you get 10 legs. That's insane.
They laughed in my face at first, and I just handed it. And I said, do you want me to read rotation numbers, or do you want me to just hand you the sheet and you do it? You took care of it. Commanders, Lions, 36. And there's not a bad number on here.
No.
I mean, Commanders, Lions, 36.5. Falcons, Colts, 36.5. Ravens, Vikings, 37. Bills, Browns, 36.5. Saints, Rams, 37. Giants, Dolphins, 36. Eagles, Patriots, 36.5. The one I'm kind of worried about just because it might be too much of a brawl. Bears, Bengals, 37. Chiefs, Bucks, 37. Cowboys, Cardinals, 37.5. $100. Just like these awful Twitter accounts will say, if you just would have put a $100 parlay on all 10 overs on Saturday, that wins yourself $64,208.
Oh, man. Well, if that hits, you're going to want to tune in.
You want to talk about a tip. I mean, the whole window's getting tips. Well, everyone's getting it. You're going to want to tune in. Not life-changing, but...
That's 64K. That moves the needle. Right?
Oh, that moves the needle, for sure. I'll go up in bracket, that's for sure.
That becomes the needle. Now, what do you... how much are you tipping? You tipping 2K? What do you do on a 64
On a score? 64K? I do a 1%. I'll probably an even K on that one.
Even thousand dollars.
Yeah. I'll say this online, you can hold me to it.
Holding to it.
Audience. If I win $64,000, the $64,000 question, can 10 overs
make it
hit?
2K. Make it 2K. Gambling gods will like that.
All right, I'll make it 2K. And I was going to put the Monday nighter or the later one on there for
Sunday
the
11, night, late
but
Sunday.
The worst thing you do is going into it, sweating it, being up 10-0 and needing that.
I need 32K to hedge.
I need a hedge and under on a preseason game.
Don't want any part of that. Love the paper ticket parlays. Good stuff, guys. And of course, coming up, final segment. You know what it is. Our best bets. Some of our favorite preseason games, the win totals, the parlays. We got it all. Don't want to miss it. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on Visa.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack in the Money Green, filling in for Ryan Kramer from the Bottom Line Bombs podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Mr. CJ Sullivan. What's up, CJ?
Fantastic. I can't believe this is the last segment. The show blew through there. I tried to end with a bang with the 10 leggers, set the precedent. for Kramer, but I can't believe, and we'll be back here next week. This has been amazing, though.
No, it's going to be awesome. Super excited for next week. Obviously, in studio, we got to bring back the return of speed betting, everyone's favorite.
And thank you for not making speed betting a segment this week, by the way.
Well, logistically, it's tough to do.
It's good to
have a judge.
Yeah, I'm the best of the referee with that. And honestly, I mean, that door might be the hardest part. That is a bank vault heavy door.
It is, yes, very soundproof, super heavy door that you got to power through.
Yeah.
It's kind of like American Gladiators and that last thing where they had a blast through. Yes. Sometimes there was a guy there. Sometimes it was just a piece of paper. They fell through. Thank you, CJ, for giving out a 10-legger parlay. You've reset the bar for Tale of the Tape. And it'll be great because now for the rest of the history of the show, any parlay Kramer gives out, I go, oh, that's pretty big. CJ gave out a 10 team.
I've now become the ex that you always bring up. No matter what Kramer does,
you're like, that one weekend. CJ, man. Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be sick of me coming up.
Best bets.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tail some of the win totals that I'm in line with on Colby over UCLA. 5.5 wins. You got to lay some juice. Fine with a 6 alt or whatever. Gophers, I'm in on Minnesota. Take the over on their win total. Also, over 6.5. Preseason action. It's off to a slow start for old Sean Green. Goose egg, which is bad. Mm. But Saturday, a.k.a. today, depending on when you're listening, is when we get right. Colts -3.5. Again, fading the Falcons in preseason. I love it. Bears -1.5. Fading Zach Taylor in preseason. I'm on it. Bills +2.5. Fading the Browns quarterback situation, which I believe is bad. Ravens +3.5. They seem to be carrying again. Nice little mini parlay here of Ravens and Bills on the money line. That's +450, depending on where you get it. And we didn't really cover this game, but I'll give out an early NFL Week 1 play.
Oh.
Boy, I mean, I'm going to be very surprised if this isn't one of my locks. I talked about it on Follow the Money, but the Saints getting 7 points against Detroit. Yeah. I know the Saints have a good offense, but I don't know, man. That defense is still really hurt. The LaPorta injury. Maybe they're going to be able to move the ball against the Saints, but this is – 7 just feels like so much to lay opening week with so many. Yeah, sorry. The Lions laying 7 points just feels like so much for so many questions on that defensive side of the football. And Saints ended the season last year with some momentum.
Mm-hmm.
7 just feels like a ton of points week 1.
100%. In week 1, all the dogs are live. Wonky things happen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, remember last year the Raiders went to New England and won outright.
Oh, it was a great false flag because I was like, you know, just crowing about, I told you the Patriots are going to be bad this year. They lost to the Raiders at home. Meanwhile, they end up at the Super Bowl somehow.
Yeah.
But it's
such a bad loss that, like, 3 months into it, we're still brought up. This team lost to the Raiders. We still didn't believe the Patriots.
Well, and going back, looking at NFL Week 1, I definitely suggest doing it before you lock in all your plays for NFL Week 1 this year, because to CJ's point, just some of the outlier, weird, wacky games. You had the Steelers Jets putting up 66 points.
Right.
Steelers barely winning. Jets covering. That was a wild game. Colts, who again, we had one of our survivor entries on the Dolphins that got blown up. Felt like a total idiot. Meanwhile, Mike Palm came on our show and we're talking about, oh hey, do you have any like sleeper teams for week 1? And he goes, I like Daniel Jones and the Colts. And, right after he leaves, we're like, this guy's dumb.
This guy's a total idiot.
Yeah. Dolphins. Daniel Jones sucks. And we were kind of right.
Well, now,
he did eventually start sucking, but Tua sucked harder. And that was the difference. The Raiders upsetting the Patriots, winning 20-13. That looks like an outlier game. The Rams barely beating the Texans 14-9. Incredibly ugly game. The crazy comebacks. Bills 41-40, which As I bring this up, I know it was a sore subject, CJ. I think you were on the Ravens. We were hammering some Bills.
Yeah, I heard you guys talk about this last week as well. And what, or no, on the your Buffalo Bills treatment with Adam. And what a great start to the season and what it was.
It was fun.
We were all out here. I had the Ravens. You all had Buffalo. We were all up there packed. Now, I did get a little live action Buffalo to hedge
balance,
a bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and you guys, literally, I was in the middle of a Bills party. You guys were on top of each other's shoulders celebrating this comeback.
That was an electric environment.
It was electric environment. There I was with the Ravens ticket, and I was not getting sympathy from you guys. I took a photo, I believe. You guys were giving me the finger, laughing in my face there. And you remind me of that Survivor thing when you guys took the Dolphins week one. Reminds me of, to go back on tonight's show when we talked about the Survivor and the Surviving CJ contest, which you can still get at SG.PN, but that's like Surviving CJ. When you said, my week one strategy is just to advance to week two, I'm like, you usually don't hear that in week one. Yeah. You know. But now that I think about it, oh, because last year.
Yeah, to me, it's don't get cute.
Yeah, don't get cute.
Plenty of time to get cute.
With Tua on the road.
And a couple other just random reminders how wild week one could be. Both the Seahawks and the Patriots, the two teams in the Super Bowl, both lost at home. 49ers beat them 17-13. A little more understandable, but just keep an eye out. Keep your head on the swivel. Cannot wait to break down NFL Week 1. But, CJ, what are your best bets here for tomorrow and the weekend?
All right, let's take
maybe
a look.
Some futures.
Sure. No, I got one future in there. If I was going to put this future, I do love the both of them that you put out there, UCLA and Minnesota, over 6.5. I'm on both of them. I have them in pocket, especially UCLA. So, as well, I'm with you with the Colts. It's my favorite preseason play this week, -3.5. Like we said, it's just the fate of the Falcons. I mean, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Love the Colts there. Took the Eagles, -1.5. This is a pride game coming up. After all week, the war of attrition there of the joint practice and the A.J. Brown. Love the Eagles. Dolphins, money line. I don't need the 3.5 points. The Giants are losers. They losing. This is ridiculous. I mean, what are we talking about here? Dolphins, like we said, their roster is full of 100 people that need jobs and are going to play like they need jobs. One baseball play. I know we didn't talk about baseball there, but
yeah.
White Sox, Mets tomorrow. This White Sox team is just full of vibes. They're great. They came back tonight. They won this game 6-4 after being down 4-0. The Mets team is full of losers. You can get them -120 in the south side of Chicago. Luis Castillo on the bump. They just traded for him in Seattle. He had a bad debut versus Boston. Boston's in a buzzsaw. But his last outing, he struck out 10-7. Luis Castillo is a top 15 pitcher in baseball. Going against Christian Scott and this Mets team. Don't even overthink this. Give me the White Sox on pretty much a pick 'em at home with Castillo, who they just traded for. Will be electric environment out there. And one future that I forgot to, I wanted to sneak it into the ladder. I didn't really know how to do it. This was a text from our good buddy, Adam Rosenberg. He threw us out there. I am, and we talked about how I am kind of, I was on the bottom rung of the ladder talk, the ladder chatter. People send me pictures of ladders of Japan. And this guy, especially, I was on the ground floor.
Oh, 100%.
Kymie Farbarn, the apostrophe kicker, Houston Texans. I know Paulie Howard also got in on it. And I'm not saying, you know what? Hey, there's room on the bandwagon.
Oh, plenty.
Over 1.5 made field goals every
just
game, 30 games straight.
Crazy.
To lead the NFL in field goals, he's +600. Kymie Farbarn, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. People try to say Cameron Dicker's a better kicker. He's like 10 to 1. Absolutely not. It is the perfect. The reason why this works, it's the perfect recipe. You have a conservative coach with Houston. You have a great defense, and you have an offense that can't score touchdowns. And Farbarn's just a great
and
kicker.
And he's a money kicker.
And he's apostrophe a money kicker. The apostrophe gang. Let's go. Lead the NFL 6-1.
Love it. Cannot wait to see his week one over 1.5 field goals against the Bills.
They don't know how to juice it.
They don't know what they're doing. Hey, coming up tomorrow, get your betting day started with Tim Murray on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line at 9 a.m. East. Then at noon, Matt Brown and Femi Abefefe take over Ready, Set, Bet, followed by Live Bet Saturday at 3 p.m. It's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Awesome show. Thank you, CJ, for filling in for Ryan.
Thank you.
Real Money Kramer. Big thanks to producer Johnny. Big thanks to our guests, Jeff Erickson, Colby Dant, and the countdown is on. Contest sign-up weekend. So excited. Again, if you're coming out for contest weekend, come say hi. We're going to be doing our podcast from the Media Row. We're also going to be going to the parties, having some cocktails. So it's a great weekend, great reason to come out here to Circa. Obviously, recommend signing up for the contest. Very fun. Get in on Surviving CJ for a chance to play Survivor with CJ. I do like John was saying, 10%.
Make it 20.
Okay, 30%.
And I'm not above bribes, by the way, if you want to put that in there. You want to take a lower stake.
Are out there. Check us out on X at Gambling Podcast. And, of course, as always,
thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean Second the Money Green, and he is CJ Sullivan.
Abdul Carter, the leading sex.
Let it ride.